the soft bigotry of low corporate expectations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The corporate earnings theme continues this morning. Lower profits, not as bad as expected. International Paper says cardboard boxes aren't selling like they used to. The health insurer WellPoint says when people lose their jobs, they're no longer customers. And Quest Communications says customers are bailing on their landlines in favor of cell phones. There are reports this morning that GMAC is seeking a third government bailout. GMAC was known as the financing arm for General Motors until it branched out and got tangled up in the subprime debacle. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite has the story.
Late last year, GMAC became a bank. That made it eligible for government bailout funds. Later, it underwent a stress test along with all the other banks that had received government cash. Everyone else either did well or was able to raise more capital. But GMAC couldn't raise enough. The government handed the company more than $7 billion back then, but it needs another $5.5 billion by early November. John Wolkonowicz is an auto analyst with IHS Global Insight. He says the government will pony up.
To have a U.S. bank fail just would not send the right message to the economy right now, which is just having the initial dim light of recovery in sight. The government doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize that.
He says the government's third infusion will come in the form of stock. He says down the line, GMAC should be profitable again, but it needs auto financing to pick up, and he doesn't expect auto sales to really improve until 2011. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are falling hard this morning, down almost 2%. The German software company SAP said its future looks gloomy. Asian stocks hit the dirt too, down 1.5%. Yesterday, the NASDAQ lost more than 1%, but the Dow eked out a 14-point gain and closed at 9,882. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee shines a light on the issue of health care fraud. Fraud is one of the biggest money wasters in our medical system, but it's been a relatively small part of the debate, as Marketplace's Joel Rose tells us.
Healthcare fraud accounts for as much as $175 billion a year, according to a study released this week by Thomson Reuters. That's a lot of potential savings if you can find the fraud. Louis Sococcio at the National Healthcare Anti-Fraud Association says that's not always easy to do.
You have about 4 billion claims being filed every year. Plus, you have the entire range of healthcare problems, all the diseases, all the injuries, et cetera. So it becomes a very, very enormous and complex system to really go in and detect the fraud that's there.
Sococcio says the Justice Department has made some progress lately by focusing on cities with high rates of medical fraud, including Miami and Los Angeles. The healthcare overhaul bills in Congress would give law enforcement some new funds to analyze and fight the problem. But those bills would also expand access to health insurance and care. And Sococcio points out that would mean more fraud, not less. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at SunGard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
New rules for credit card issuers go into effect in about a month. These are limits on new fees and interest rate hikes. Card issuers have been rushing to raise their charges before the law kicks in. So this week, the chair of the Senate Banking Committee proposed an immediate freeze on those increases. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is following the story. Good morning, David.
Morning.
How are these credit companies trying to raise extra money?
Well, they're trying to raise money essentially by sticking their hand in your pocket, not to put too fine a point on it. Citibank, for example, has been sending out letters in recent days informing many cardholders that their interest rate is going up to almost 30%. In the letters that they're sending out, Citi really isn't giving any reason for that except to say that this will allow us to keep offering credit to people. And that raises real questions of fairness. Is it a money grab or is Citi, in fact, managing higher risk?
But David, Congress is limiting the interest rates that they can raise. The card companies have to make money somehow, true?
Well, they do indeed, and a fair return. No one's going to begrudge them that. Here's the reality. Everybody pretty much needs a credit card in this day and age. The card companies, when they introduce very high rates or changes in contract terms that are not beneficial to the customer, the card companies have been offering opt-outs with that, essentially saying take it or leave it. If you don't like these changes, you can pay off your balance and walk away, no harm, no foul. The problem is when all of the major card issuers are doing this, you don't really have a lot of opportunities or alternatives to go elsewhere, so you're really getting a squeeze from the industry.
The chairman of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, says we've got to give the credit card companies time to make this transition to the new rules.
Yeah, cry me a river is what I say. I mean, when the Fed chief steps up and says we need to put the bank's interests first, I'm thinking, you know, the banks have had a pretty good and long run to get their act together. And to say that they're going to need a few extra months to accommodate these reforms, I'm kind of thinking, no, the banks need to earn our trust.
Okay, so David, what is a consumer to do about these new fees?
A consumer needs to watch very closely all the inserts coming in the mail with your statement. There's going to be a lot of changes coming down the pike. Moreover, if you see any sort of contract change or interest rate hike that you don't like, there are opt-outs. It may be difficult to find another card that meets your needs, but they'll probably be out there somewhere. It's worth looking around. Don't accept terms that you don't want.
But the letters are long and the print is small.
Very small. It's hard to read.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Canton, Ohio has been wiped off the map, at least the Google map. For days, people using Google to find Canton have instead been getting maps for Colesville, Ohio, which is a lovely town, except for the fact that it doesn't exist. Google says fixing the problem is complicated because it involves so many different programs, but they are making progress. I typed in Canton just a few minutes ago and got directed to Massillon, Ohio, which is wrong, but at least there is such a place. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.